Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Last week we celebrated the resurrection of Christ, and we just continue to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen. He's not ever going to die again. Amen. When my Jesus comes back the second time, they're not going to drive nails in his hands and his feet. They're not going to put a crown of thorns on his head. But when my Jesus comes the second time, he's going to be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. I want to talk to you about being risen with Christ, because you see, when we're saved, born again, we actually experience the resurrection of Christ, because we are raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. And so let's talk about that this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Father, I praise you for your word today. I pray that you'd touch our lives, strengthen us, God. I pray that everyone here would be encouraged in the faith. And I pray, Lord, for victory for every one of your people. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're crucified with Christ, and it's no longer us that lives, but Christ who lives in us. Lord, I pray, bless the ministry of the word. Ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Believers are raised from being spiritually dead to being alive spiritually. It's in Christ that we come to spiritual life. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died immediately spiritually and began to die physically. And that's all. That refers to all humanity, basically. Until we're born again of God's Spirit, then we are spiritually dead. But when God, Christ, comes in our heart, we're made alive spiritually. Praise the Lord, and we can have relationship with God then. And water baptism is symbolic of this, even though, the water doesn't save you, the blood of Jesus saves you, but there is a baptism in water. And in Colossians, if we back up a chapter, in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, we're buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Praise the Lord. We are a people who are risen with Christ. Amen. We're resurrected from spiritual death, given spiritual life. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. And being risen with Christ, we want to talk about it for just a moment. Salvation is being raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. I think I've already said that three times. I just want to make sure you got it. Okay. But we once walked according to our sinful nature. That's the part in you that wants to do wrong. When the spiritual life in you is the part about you that wants to do right, that's God in you, that's Christ in you. We find here that if we were to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, we'd find in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, and whom also we had all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. I want to tell you something. Before God worked on us, we weren't in very good shape. But he did work on us. Praise God. We were once fulfilling the desires of the sinful nature and were by nature children who are of wrath, people who needed to be under the wrath and the judgment of God. I'm glad that the Word of God doesn't stop there, but it gives us hope. Praise the Lord. Still in Ephesians 2 and 4. No, but the God who is rich in mercy, hallelujah, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's what God did for us. That's what Jesus did when he rose again from the dead. Yes, he rose from the dead and conquered death, but he also conquered it in the spiritual as well as in the physical. He's able to give eternal life to whosoever will. And I'm thankful this day that we've been saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And now we are in pursuit of spiritual things of God, not in pursuit of fleshly lust, not in pursuit of wrathful things, but we're become sons of obedience instead of sons of disobedience. And so once we're followers of sinful things, but now our pursuit is of God. I mean, all you have to do is look around and you can find that people that are not in pursuit of God, they're in pursuit of everything that's against God. And the end is not pretty. It's not good. Amen. When people are in pursuit of sinful things, it always ends up wrong and bad. It may be enjoyable for the moment, but the moment ends. And people have got to face God in the end. But our delight once was in the things that never brought happiness, never brought contentment, things that never encouraged righteous living and holiness. Amen. I've never heard anybody just say they were shouting happy from a hangover. But I have seen people that are shouting happy when they got out of church and God touched them, God blessed them, God encouraged them, God strengthened them, amen. When God gave them victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil, amen, that God gave them something to shout about. We have something to sing about. We have a person to sing about. We have an eternity to sing about and to shout about. We have what God has given us. He's given us the gift, not of death, but life. Arisen, a resurrected life, amen. And now we are risen to spiritual life. We're risen to relationship with God, children of God. You know, to not have relationship with God, I can't imagine a life without God. It would just be really sad. Amen. What are the alternatives if you don't have a life with God? Oh, I've got a life with a friend, but as soon as I'm away, he criticizes me all the time. Oh, I've got a relationship with this one or that one or the other. And there are good relationships, but God makes it good. But I can tell you, without God, you don't have even a relationship of any kind. Marriage needs God in that relationship. Hallelujah. Friendship needs God in that relationship. Mother and daughter, father and son need God in that relationship to make it what it's supposed to be and what it is. Hallelujah. Because God never meant for us to be without him. God meant for us to be with him, and God has made it possible that we could be with him because Jesus rose from the dead and resurrected us to spiritual life when he saved us. Amen. And we are no longer dead in trespasses and sin, but we're alive in him. And now we are risen to spiritual life and relationship with God, children of God. Let me give you some scripture on that. 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I want to tell you, without God, there's really not any life. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What a powerful verse. My friend, God went to every length to give you spiritual life and give you eternal life. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Hallelujah. I'm thankful what God did and what God does. He gives us life and give it more abundantly. The thief, The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want to tell you, friend, living for God is about life. That doesn't mean you're shouting happy all the time. But I tell you, friend, it's shouting happy sometimes. Praise God when we begin to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And when you live for God, everything doesn't mean that everything is going to go your way. Doesn't mean that life is going to be without problems, without trials. I want to tell you, even the faith teachers, they have more trials than you do. They just don't teach it. Anyway, God loves us and God cares. It was a psalmist that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. The valley of the shadow of death, I don't like to think about dying. Amen. And you don't either, if you're honest. I'm willing to think about being with Jesus forever. But the process of dying is not fun to think about. Amen. I know we'd all just like to lie down one night and wake up in heaven in the morning. And that'd be it. But whatever happens, I know one thing. We need Christ and we have the guarantee of eternal life if we put our trust and our faith in Him. Praise God. And if you stay with it, and the proof of your of true and genuine faith is that you keep on living for God no matter what. No matter what happens. Praise the Lord. And so it's in the resurrected life here, back in our text. It says, if you were raised with Christ, then there's something we should do. That is, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He's telling us to turn our attention toward the eternal instead of the temporary. Amen. I know that Jesus rose again from the dead, but not only that, it doesn't stop there. It's very important that we see that Jesus was exalted to the right hand of the Father. He ascended back into heaven. Amen. The disciples saw Him. While they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He, Jesus, went up, two men in white clothing stood by and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, is coming again, will come as you've seen Him go. Hallelujah. And for Jesus to be at the right hand of the Father, it means that He fulfills a priesthood. He stands continually as our intercessor. Praise God. When you sin and you say, God, I've sinned. Amen. Jesus says, Father, I poured out my blood for that one. I died for that sin. Praise God. And Jesus died for all sins. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we endure tests, but seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the Father's right hand. We endure tests, but we know they're only temporary. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and I believe to the church in Quitman. And he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, compared to eternity, an ageless, dateless end. Our affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything that you see down here is temporary. Praise God. If you're sick right now, it's temporary. I mean, if you've been given a death sentence at the doctor's office, it's temporary. If you're a child of God, you're going to die physically, but you'll never die spiritually. You'll never be out of the will of God. Hallelujah. And so we know that. The Bible tells us, you know, at death, the spirit departs from the body. Amen. Your eternal God saved you eternally, and your eternal man goes to be with Jesus immediately if you die here physically. Praise God. We must remember Jesus endured for us. And so, therefore, we've got to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I read Hebrews chapter 11 and find all the great heroes of faith. Abraham had faith. I mean, Moses had faith. And Enoch had faith. And when I compare myself to some of these great examples of faith, I say, you know, Pastor Ken, you're not too much when it comes to being compared with those guys. But we're all people of faith. And God helps us. They were ordinary people just like you and I that depended on God to help them this day and the next day. Praise God. But let's look at Jesus. If we think we've got it hard, let's think about Jesus. And the writer here refers back to the 11th chapter, but in the 12th chapter he says, therefore, since we are all surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that would be the Hebrews of faith in chapter 11, he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My friend, you got to look to Jesus. You got to keep your eyes on the Master. Praise God. We don't join churches, and I didn't join the ministry to tell people how good I was. You know I'm not good enough, but I know God doesn't know I'm good, not good enough, but I want to tell you, Jesus is good enough. He's perfect, he's pure, he's sinless, he's holy, he's true. You can trust him. Amen. It's in his name every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Let's keep Jesus the center of our life. Let's keep Jesus the center of the church. Let's keep the resurrected, exalted Christ first in our lives. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you may think you've endured a lot of things, but he endured the cross, one of the most horrible forms ever invented by sinful humanity of execution for criminals. And Jesus did no sin. But he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father with a place of authority. A place of mediation. There's one mediator between man and God and man. That is Jesus Christ. He's the one that stands between you and I. Or stands between us and God the Father. As our intercessor and as our high priest. Praise God. I know there's teaching today that you can go to a priest and confess your sins. And they'll forgive you and say you're forgiven. I had a Catholic friend that went and he said I'd go to that priest every day. Every Saturday, he said, I'd confess my sins, usually the same sins over and over and over again. And he said, I thought as long as I went there and took that chip on Sunday morning, washed it down with a cold Coors beer, at the end, I was good for another week. That's the way he told me before he was converted. Amen. But I want to tell you something, friend. When we let God have our life, he's a mediator between you. There's no such thing as an earthly priest anymore. Jesus fulfilled the priesthood when he was seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the one, he's the go-between. He's the mediator between God and man. He alone is that mediator. Praise God. And you can talk to people and you can talk to me and we can talk to spiritual people and that's good. And we can pray together, but we pray through Christ and we get to God through Jesus Christ. He is one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. Seek those things which are above where Christ is seated at the Father's right hand. And God is concerned about things that you battle with. You know, God doesn't battle with anything. He's never been tried so hard he couldn't overcome. Matter of fact, the Bible says God cannot be tempted to do evil, neither does he tempt any man, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. Amen. And so, and Jesus in his humanity was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But Jesus stands there as our high priest today, and he's concerned about you. Even little things in your life that's not big to anybody else, but they're big to you. And things in your life you don't want anybody else to know about except yourself. Let me just enlighten you a little bit here. God knows about them. But it says here in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, he says, seeing we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Does Jesus know what it feels like to be tempted? Yes, in his humanity, he was tempted in all points as we are. But he never caved into temptation like we all have before. Yeah, we have. Amen. You say, well, I've never caved into it. Yeah, well, you know, you're lying. There we go. But it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. When you're having trouble, don't go somewhere else. Go to Jesus. Amen. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise God. And so grace is there to help us in our time of need. God looks down on us with favor because Christ, his Son, lives in us. Amen. And so the grace of God there is there with you. Amen. And I can tell you, along with the Apostle Paul, his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. We're not perfect. I don't care what anybody's told you. We're not perfect, but the God that we serve is perfect. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. He will not fail. He will not fail you. He's never failed you. Amen. He's your King, your Lord, your Savior. He's a mediator between God and man. He stands there as your priest. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're to set our minds on things above if we're resurrected with Christ, one of his. Yes, and we are. We can't set our mind upon what this world can come up with. You don't have to listen to the news or the radio or the television very long to find out that man really doesn't have all the answers. He's full and completely full, level full of contradictions continually. But we're not supposed to be in love with what this world can produce, but instead to be in love with Christ. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, the love of the world means the love of the sinful passions of this age that we're living in. Amen. Don't be in love with that. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those three things will coincide with what Adam and Eve, or at least Eve, Adam too, we won't leave any gender out here. And so, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so the devil uses the same thing every time, one of those three things, because it's always worked with him. But you see, this world will pass away. Everything that you see will pass away. Let me ask you, the hard time you're going through, if you're arguing with somebody about something and you just terribly want to win this argument, I don't know if there's any politicians here, anyway. But you want to win this argument real bad. Let me get down to home. Maybe it's with your wife or your spouse or your child or somebody that's kin to you. Or that person, relative, is kin to you that comes over and you wish everybody else would come over except them. You tell them, feel like telling them, come back when you can't stay so long. That anyway. Whatever you're worrying about or in trouble about, let me tell you something. Will it really matter 30 minutes from now? Will it really matter tomorrow? Is it worth it really for anything? No. Set your mind on things above, not on things below. It won't make any difference whether you won or you didn't win. It makes a difference you stay right with God, you stay close to Jesus, live for God, and pray for people you don't get along with because they're praying for you because they feel the same way about you sometimes. Amen. Amen. So I got to move on here somewhere or another, okay? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, because the world is passing away. It's not eternal. It won't last forever, everything, but the things of God are eternal, praise God, and they will last forever. Your sin, your relationship with God will last forever. Amen. I can think of nothing better than to sit down one day in heaven and I'll say, Lord, I want to, and I'll fall before you in his holiness, but Lord, I would like to talk with you. Amen. We're not going to set God down and explain a thing or two to him. He knows everything. I've heard people foolishly say that. When I get to heaven, I'm going to set him down and talk to him. Oh, yeah, really, you are? Not hardly. We're going to fall at his feet and cry, holy. Amen. But I do believe we can have a relationship with God, and we will have for eternity as we learn of the glories of God from eternity past to eternity future. Eternal life. And it says here, you died to sinfulness, praise God, and were raised to walk in newness of life. God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that is a picture of water baptism, even though it's not actually talking about water baptism, but it is talking about being baptized into Christ. Amen. And it says here in our text, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't think about people who are spiritually dead. Or don't think about the deadest service you've ever been in. And don't believe... There's jokes everywhere about how service wasn't alive as it should have been. But it says here, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is wonderful scripture concerning the blessed hope of the Christian, the return, the rapture of the church. Let me teach you a little bit here if I can. Amen. And if you ever reach the place where you can't be taught anything, you're in trouble. And I still need God's word. I read the Bible through every year. And I want it from, I wish I could quote it from Genesis to Revelation. I can't. You know, I know there's only 66 books. And 107,000 verses or something like that. But anyway, the Word of God does bring light on many things. And when it comes to the appearing right here, when Christ, our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Many people have trouble struggling between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. Now, the rapture of the church is when the church is raptured out, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and caught up to be with Christ in the air. That's the rapture of the church. Jesus doesn't come literally back to the earth. Then he catches his church up and away to him. The second coming of Christ is when he comes back and his foot sets upon the Mount of Olives, and he declares himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He destroys the armies of the Antichrist and completely takes over and rules and reigns in righteousness for 1,000 years of peace. That's the second coming and the millennial kingdom. But many times the rapture is referred to as the appearing of Christ. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, is our life, shall appear, the rapture, then you also will appear with him in glory, be caught up. 1 Peter 5 and 4, when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, when he shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's a reward for Christians. 1 John 3, 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, this is a rapture, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Because you're going to be changed, transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and made like him at the rapture. In 1 Peter 1 and 7, sheds a little more light on this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that helps us a little bit. Not every time you see appear in scriptures that talking about the rapture, but a number of times it does. And so we know that he's coming back. He's going to appear one of these days in the heavens and call his people home. Like Jesus told the Apostle John, said, come up hither, and I will show you what must take place hereafter, after the churches. Amen. And so, amen, friend, we got a great thing to look forward to. So you can rejoice today, friend, we're risen with Christ. Children of God by new birth, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Amen. Eternal with Christ in the heavens. My friend, Well, let's be risen with Christ. Let's seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen.